Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about OnePlus's next smartphone, which is rumored to be named OnePlus 5. So we're going to be talking about what we expect from this smartphone, what is on our wish list, and what rumors and leaks have so far been suggesting. Now, we are doing this because OnePlus has, for better or worse, become a very important player in the smartphone market. It is very popular with the enthusiast crowd. And those who cannot really go for a flagship smartphone and pay 40,000 rupees plus for a device, they actually look at brands like OnePlus, which offer pretty much the same specs or, marginally lower performance and specs at a much lower price, which is in the 25 to 30,000 price bracket. So this makes OnePlus a big player in the Indian market, especially. So now we're looking at the upcoming smartphone, that is OnePlus 5. So to talk about this, we have our deputy reviews editor, that's Royden Sarejo.
Hey, what's up everyone?
And I'm your host, Pranay Parab. So Royden, first, do you want to talk about what we've been hearing so far with regards to the OnePlus 5's launch timing? I'm guessing they mentioned sometime like 2017 only, so it'll probably hit around, say, June or July, right?
Yeah, so according to the recent leak, which has been a Twitter post by OnePlus itself, which they've just teased a picture saying, "Hello 5." So that sort of hints to the next phone being actually called the OnePlus 5, and they will be indeed, I think, skipping the 4 numbering system. And they say summer, welcome summer. So again, yeah, I think you're pretty right when you say about June timeframe for the launch.
Yeah, so this, why did they skip the 4 number? Because of OnePlus 1, 2, 3, and why not 4?
So apparently in China, I think the number 4 is kind of unlucky. So that's probably the reason.
All right, that makes sense. And you know what, like we've been discussing this for a while, that OnePlus 1 was a slightly buggy smartphone, but by and large, we can say that it's a critical and commercial success. It had its issues, but it still was overall a pretty good phone. And OnePlus 2, I mean, not so much, right?
Yeah, I mean, OnePlus 2, I think, didn't really hit. OnePlus 1, the whole lure of the OnePlus 1 is because you just couldn't go out and buy it, right? You had that invite system, and that created the whole sort of mystery around this phone. Like, everyone wanted to know, what is this phone? And whoever had it was like one of the few lucky ones. And, you know, they had these bragging rights that I managed to get my hands on a OnePlus 1. And that trend sort of continued, even the OnePlus 2, even though it wasn't a great phone, I think they more than made up for it with the current one, that is the 3, the OnePlus 3.
Yeah, so that's what basically we were talking about, how like they had one great phone and then one average phone so far. So, you know, because maybe they've skipped the 4 number, let's hope that OnePlus 5 actually turns out to be one of their great phones.
It should be. I mean, if they build on the success, on what they've already achieved with the OnePlus 3 and maybe improve on that, there's no reason why the next one shouldn't be as good or if not better than the current one.
Yeah, so for prospective buyers, I think the most important thing here is that OnePlus 3 and 3T, both of them have practically held their price, I think, since launch. They never really received a price cut, did they?
No, they haven't. So I think the whole idea behind the OnePlus brand and the whole philosophy behind the brand is that they want to be seen like the premium brand like that Apple is. So similar to Apple, even though now recently iPhones do get drastic price cuts, like before, the reason they are holding onto the price is because they want to be seen like, so if you invest in the OnePlus 3, it's not like a few months later the price will be like half or like most other companies do. So they want to be seen as that brand who can hold that position in the market. And even though they've not dropped the pricing, I think the units are still selling pretty well, because currently around that price, it's still one of the best value for money phones you can buy.
Yeah, easily. And I'm actually quite happy with this move of not reducing the price, because whoever buys the phone on day one, they should not be, feeling bad that, 2 months later, there's a big price cut on this. And then, there's no real brand loyalty that builds up over time.
Exactly. I think that's one of the reasons why people have sort of stuck to the brand, and also people keep recommending the brand, because OnePlus don't really do any marketing or any sort of promotion as such. So it's mostly the reason you see so many OnePlus users out there is because it has spread organically through word of mouth. And, they didn't start off to be like a brand for the masses to begin with. But today you can see the masses sort of using the OnePlus 3 again, just due to word of mouth.
Yeah, and you know, the only marketing I've really seen them do is put out some hoardings in partnership with Amazon India, which is, I think, their exclusive retail partner.
Yeah, that, and they've had a couple of pop-up stores in some malls in Mumbai. And of course, let's not forget, they also have one offline store in Bengaluru at the moment, I think.
Yeah. So by and large, I still think that the statement is largely, I mean, true. That they don't really do much marketing, which affords them the ability to have like super low margins, I guess. And that is how probably they let you sort of they give you this product which has like good specs comparable to flagship smartphones at a relatively lower price.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons. Plus, I'm guessing they would have smaller margins as compared to Samsung and the others as well. So everything combined is how probably they can still function as a company while still offering these rock bottom prices for, you know, top of the line specifications.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, ultimately that leads us to the OnePlus 5, which is something that we expect to be priced not too highly, but I can't see them holding the sub 30,000 rupee price mark this time around. Even though the rupee has become stronger since the time they last launched their previous phone. But I still don't think that they'll be launching it in the sub 35,000 rupee bracket.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say right now. They could do something between 35 and 40. I don't think they'll definitely not breach 40. But the base model should definitely be somewhere around 35. Because even if you consider recently, the 128 GB model of the OnePlus 3T has supposedly been gone out of stock or discontinued, even though OnePlus says that it will come back. It's tough to say. So it's possible that they are prepping to replace the 128 GB model, which was selling for around 35, with the OnePlus 5, which will come in June. So that is a possibility.
Yeah, that's actually quite a strong indicator in my opinion, because you definitely don't want two of your products to be competing against each other.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. So price-wise, at least it'll still be much lower than the likes of, say, Samsung Galaxy S8 and S8+.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a lot more affordable for the components that they will pack in. And it's going to be comparable to the S8 and the G6 and everything. But again, a lot lesser.
Yeah, so the Samsung Galaxy S8 in India does not use Qualcomm's chips, right? It's the Exynos.
It's their own Exynos chips.
Yeah, but LG G6,
G6 has a Qualcomm, but it's not the 835 because Samsung called dibs on that since they were manufacturing the chips for Qualcomm. So they had first preference for those chips. So the G6 sadly doesn't have that chip, but I think all future ones and that will be launching now. Since the S8 is already out, the other OEMs can roll out smartphones with an 835. Like the Mi 6, for instance, I think.
That's actually good to hear. But, I mean, will it affect OnePlus? I mean, OnePlus 5, is it expected to have the Snapdragon 835
chip? So, according to a leaked benchmark recently, very recently, which shows that it is running on an A35 or could be running on an A35, and in fact it beats the S8 Plus in terms of in benchmarks in Geekbench. So the only way it can do that if it is on the latest A35 chip, because I don't think there's anything more powerful than that that's right already now available commercially for these OEMs to put in their phones.
Yeah, I mean, if you can trust this leak, then that's actually good news for people who are buying OnePlus and not so good for those who are buying Samsung. I mean, those who already bought the S8 and the S8 Plus.
But if you want something that is on par with the S8 or, as the leak suggests, even better than the S8, then OnePlus 5 seems like a phone that's worth waiting for.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what I've noticed is that why do Samsung and, say, I mean, LG, Sony and Apple charge so much money for their smartphones? What do they offer that's more than OnePlus? So in my observation, at least, it seems as if the quality of the display panel that they use and the cameras that they use are still, I would say, probably a notch higher than what OnePlus used in the 3 and the 3T. So this is one area where the company could probably play catch up, and because of its, you know, low margin and online only model, it could probably afford to like offer these two things at a slightly lower price than the flagships.
Yeah, so I mean, these are the couple of areas where OnePlus really needs to sort of up their game, because up until the 3T, we are still stuck with 1080p displays, even though they're very good displays. But they've not sort of breached that resolution. The OnePlus 5 could support a Quad HD display, because that is one area where they can improve, and they sort of need to improve if they still want to maintain, you know, the flagship killer image. And cameras is another area where they sort of really need to up their game, because like you said, I mean, like the current OnePlus 3 offers pretty much similar performance all around as compared to, you know, phones that cost a lot more. But the reason why people pay that's extra premium for like a Samsung or an LG is because they want that extra bit of refinement, whether it is, you know, the construction or the materials used in the construction or the quality of the display or even the camera. You know, so for the extra bit of refinement, you sort of need to shell out that extra bit of money. But if they can sort of fix that with the OnePlus 5 and give similar levels of performance of the display and as camera as compared to, let's say, the S8 or even the iPhone 7 Plus, then it could be another game changer.
Yeah, I mean, if I were to think about it, the one reason that I would personally maybe not pick the OnePlus 3 or 3T over all these flagships is the camera, and that matters to a lot of people. And These days, the likes of Google Pixel, iPhone 7 Plus, and Samsung Galaxy S8 Plus have been really pushing the boundaries on that front. I mean, if I were to just look at the industry and observe trends and make a comment, then I'd probably say that they are going after the pro camera market slowly but steadily. I mean, every year we see all these flagship phones improve their camera to us like by a big enough margin that I'd say that for most people now, you don't really need to invest in a proper standalone camera.
Yeah, I mean, for most use cases, I think today's flagship smartphone cameras at least do a fantastic job, like no matter the lighting condition. In fact, we are in the process of doing a camera roundup. So for those listening, stay tuned for that. We have compared a whole bunch of flagships like the S8, G6, iPhone and the Pixel. So that should be really interesting to see how the result pans out. But yeah, the cameras are an important part, and everyone wants a good camera nowadays, whether even if you're just casually posting to Instagram or even Facebook, it's always helps to have a good camera because you never know when you need a good camera for those fleeting moments to capture.
Yeah, exactly. And the advancements, especially in terms of video recording, have been just phenomenal over the past few years.
Yeah, I mean, 4K is pretty much the norm now, at least in the high-end phones. So it'll be interesting to see how OnePlus differentiates it from the OnePlus.
Yeah, exactly. It can't afford to stay behind on that aspect while offering. Because, see, I mean, honestly speaking, for OnePlus has never really aspired for like being the phone of the masses, in the sense that it doesn't really seem like, so far, whatever they've done does not really seem like they'll be as widespread as, say, what a Xiaomi is today in India. Partly because their pricing is higher. But what they're going after is the flagships, right? And you really can't afford to stay behind in terms of the camera. Then, you know, and say that you are a flagship killer.
Yeah, exactly. So, unlike before, I mean, in the middle, they did have the OnePlus X and some budget series where they tried their hand to tap into that market, but that didn't really work out. But from now onwards, I think they're only going to focus on the flagship, and that'll just be like one flagship a year, or maybe two, like the 3T was, depending if there are some major advancements in the SoC and other departments, they might release like a refresh down the line, but they're only going to stick to flagships, basically.
Yeah, that's actually a good approach to take, because I mean, frankly speaking, Xiaomi is much better at taking care of the budget market.
Yeah.
And I really don't see OnePlus being able to compete in that, especially, I think, what was that phone called? OnePlus X?
The OnePlus X.
Yeah, which had launched, and it didn't really do that well because...
Yeah, it didn't do well because I think a lot, like the build and many aspects didn't really match up to what the competition offered. So I don't think it really took off.
Yeah, and at that price range, I think the margins are so low that the only way you can make a profit is over the long term if you keep selling units.
Exactly. And then also for that, like to bring your price down, you have to make many compromises, which I don't think OnePlus wants to make anymore.
Yeah, so they've really hit that very nice sweet spot between the budget phones and the flagships.
Yep.
And I suppose, you know, by improving the camera alone, they can seriously put a dent on the flagship market. And ultimately, this is a good thing. And like, if you look at the whole industry as a trend, like in the smartphone industry, it's that all the technologies of last year's flagship are available this year for you at that price at which OnePlus is offering this year's latest features. So specs may not matter so much, but if it can nail the camera, then I'd still say that, you know, instead of buying, say, an iPhone 7 right now, or even maybe like a 6S, iPhone 6S, or something like the Samsung Galaxy S7, so instead of buying those phones, you could get a OnePlus and probably get better performance if they manage to get that aspect right.
Yeah, so that is another aspect. I mean, if they do manage to nail that, I think this would be a really, really interesting phone, just like the previous OnePlus 3 was. Yeah. So.
Yeah, on the specification front, the only thing that we've heard a lot of rumors, but what we can expect for sure is that they'll have the latest version of Android running on the smartphone.
I mean, yeah, that's to be expected. So it might not be Android O, but at least they should have the latest version of Android Nougat
7.1.2.
At least that's the version right now.
Yeah, so the reason they won't have Android O is that I think this phone will hit the market somewhere in June, July. At least that's what we're expecting now. So Android O's preview is expected to be announced at Google I.O., which is on May 17th, which is like a week from now. So that preview mode will be under developer preview and beta or whatever until about September or October.
Yeah.
So the final release of that will happen only much later. But then OnePlus has been pretty good with updates. So I'm pretty sure this new version will come to the OnePlus 5 eventually. And other than that, on the specification front, we do see some things like an 8GB RAM variant, which could be massively overkill considering that the 6GB variant is doing just fine.
Yeah, I mean, 8GB is just a rumor as of now, but that'll just be like an optional model that they have or a special edition model or something.
256GB storage and 8GB if you want.
Yeah, so that'll just be like a one-off thing if they even do that, which... It's doubtful. I mean,
I don't see.
I don't really see that happening. I mean, I don't think anyone is playing those the number game anymore of having more is better types. So,
yeah. So if you were offered a choice and they told that okay, there's one thing in OnePlus 3 which really annoys you, which you would want changed in the OnePlus 5, then what would that be?
So, the one thing that really annoyed me when I tested the OnePlus 3T was that profile switcher that they have at the side.
Oh, yeah, the ringer switch, yeah.
Yeah, so... But the reason why it annoyed me was that you cannot you cannot engage the do not disturb mode automatically, or you can't schedule for D&D to kick in at a specific time, which I'm sort of gotten used to doing now. So that really annoyed me that you have to manually do that. It's just nice when your phone automatically goes into D&D mode after a particular time.
That's really strange because even the iPhone has the ringer switch.
Yeah.
And whether it's on loud mode or silent mode, D&D setting overrides the setting of that switch.
Yeah.
So only thing that the switch does is decides whether your phone will ring or not. So under D&D, you have a few options, such as you can allow few contacts who are your favorites. You can allow calls from them to come through even under D&D mode.
Yeah.
So... if your phone is, say, like the ringer switch is in the loud mode, then the only thing that will happen is when these calls come through, you will hear a ringtone.
Yeah.
Or if it's in the vibrate mode, when these exceptions, these calls that you've allowed, when they come through, the phone will just vibrate. But other than that, D&D setting overrides the ringer switch. So yeah. I am not sure why OnePlus didn't do that with the 3T.
I'm not entirely sure about the latest world firmware, if they have fixed that or added an option to sort of override that. But at least back when I tested it, that was the one annoyance that I remember.
Yeah, and that's actually something that's quite minor, which I think they should be able to fix with a simple software update.
They should, yeah.
Hopefully they do that. But the ringer switch, I would say, is a big convenience because when I use that, since I am a regular iPhone user, I find that switch to be extremely convenient, especially for example, we are recording a podcast right now.
True.
So to put your phone in D&D mode, on the iPhone, I still have to open the or switch on the screen. But on the OnePlus 3, what you can do is just put it in the super silent mute mode. Directly from the outside.
True. I mean, it does have its uses, I guess.
So for certain cases, it's definitely a lot more convenient to have that extra switch. But yeah, other than that, I would probably still vote for the camera because, that's, as I said earlier, that's one place where OnePlus really needs to up its game because the Pixels and the iPhone 7 Pluses and the S8 Pluses of the world, they are really trailblazing effort is being put in right now and they're really advancing the field at a rapid rate every year. And you can't really afford to be a passerby in that
race. That's true. Also, I mean, if you go by some of the sketches that were leaked on Weibo for the OnePlus 5, it does show it has a dual camera at the back and the front. However, it's not really clear what the second camera would be. Would it just be a monochrome sensor for better image quality, or would it be like a telephoto lens at the back, like the iPhone, and in the front you could have a wide-angle lens for group selfies, Oppo's solution. So it's not clear what the second camera will do or even if it would have a second camera, but the sketches seem to indicate that there are two cameras in front and the back.
That's kind of interesting. I mean, I would assume that, like you said, at the back, they'd probably use it for a telephoto lens, the second camera.
Yeah.
While at the front, it probably is for something like a group selfie, which apparently is a big deal for a lot of people these days.
It's sort of like a trend. I mean, not a trend, but I mean, it's sort of an in thing now to have like
two
cameras in the front.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that probably is a good thing to expect from the smartphone in terms of the camera. But also, I am not sure about the display. Like, I think you mentioned that they'd probably up the resolution to about Quad HD.
They could do Quad HD or they could stick to, depending again on the size of the phone, if they go like 5.5 or larger, then ideally they should go with a Quad HD screen.
Yeah, exactly. And
1080p just won't cut it at that size.
I'm just worried a little about the infinity display on the Samsung Galaxy S8.
Yeah.
Now, that looks quite cool, to be honest.
And it looks really good.
Yeah, I mean, every time we use the phone over here, we just look at the display and we try, like, you know, every phone that we see now, every other phone in the market, I mean, somehow now it's going to be compared to the Galaxy S8.
Yeah.
I mean, not saying that all the budget phones will be compared against that, but now that's set a new standard for the industry, as far as I can tell. So, I'm not sure if OnePlus will be able to do that right now, but that is one thing that could still be a differentiator for those who, you know, are looking at smartphones and would consider the S8.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say if they'll do like a bezel-less design like how Samsung and LG have done, or even that aspect ratio, that 18:9 aspect. But as long as they have like thin enough bezels and it looks and it feels comfortable in the hand, I don't think that should be an issue. Like, I don't think anyone would not buy that phone because it doesn't have bezel-less display.
Yeah, true that. But I mean, you know, we do say that this is a flagship killer, which is like OnePlus's marketing line.
Yeah.
And that was driven initially by their bid to attract the enthusiast crowd who were looking at the specifications of the phone more than the user experience itself.
Yeah.
So nowadays, I think the trend has shifted a little because when you can so clearly see that a phone like looks totally stunning like the Galaxy S8 does, at least from the front. So when you see another phone lying next to it, then you're making a buying decision. And you know, if price is not really a factor for you, then you're obviously going to go for the S8.
No, completely agree. Else. If you're in a shop and you have all these phones lined up and if you see the S8, like the S8 just blows everything out of the water, at least in terms of sure wow factor.
Yeah.
So there's nothing that comes close to it, I think, right now.
Yeah, at least I think the best thing is that even when you do like an online price comparison, the pictures of the S8 are exactly how it looks in real life.
Exactly.
It's not like, you know, in the press render, it looks like something amazing.
Exactly.
But in real life, it doesn't deliver. It's not like that at all. So, yeah, I mean, I think they still have their work cut out. It's not like if they basically price it in the 30,000-35,000 price bracket and offer these killer specs. Sales are not guaranteed. Because I also feel that when you go above that 30,000 price mark, then you are entering a territory where somebody who can afford a phone that costs 35,000 rupees, I genuinely think that they will be afford a phone that costs 60,000 rupees as well.
Yeah.
So I don't think, you know, price would be that much of a barrier. Except for those people who go totally crazy and take phones on EMI, you know, take a loan to buy a phone.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they manage to succeed if they are going to price it above 35. I mean, close to 40. Because when you're touching 40, then it makes you sort of think twice before going in for this. When you already have reputed brands, like bigger brands, in fact, selling their sort of top of the line phones. Maybe not the current ones, but at least last year's phones, which will drop drastically in price now.
Yeah, so let's not forget that technically right now, iPhone 7 is the current gen phone, even though it's about, 7 months old at this point. It's still, I mean, recently it went down to as low as, I think, 46,000. We discussed it on a previous episode of the podcast. Yeah. So if OnePlus, let's just assume, total speculation here. If OnePlus prices its base variant at something like 35,000 rupees for the OnePlus 5, and the top end variant, which is a 256GB storage with 8GB RAM or whatever, is priced at 40,000 or 41,000. And iPhone 7 32GB is at 46,000. Then you're like seriously entering that territory where people, you know, may not really buy your phone simply because the brand value of iPhone or the Samsung S7 or S8 is so powerful. And they suddenly start looking at those brands instead of yours.
It's going to be a tough decision to make if the pricing is reaches that point.
Yeah, exactly. On the one hand, you have the stunning S8, and on the other hand, you have the brand value of the iPhone. And the iPhone 7 and 7 Plus are also like, both of them are great phones. There's nothing particularly wrong with them either. So when you're like competing directly with these phones, the pricing becomes a key strategy, especially if you're a brand that's like up and coming as opposed to established ones.
Yeah, exactly. And even on paper, if the OnePlus 5 still manages to beat both these brands, again, people still have that affinity towards owning a phone from a big brand.
Yeah, and let's not underestimate other things like service for starters and the offline retail network. So if you go to a store and tell the storekeeper that I saw online on Amazon this OnePlus 5, which is available at a much lower price, and on paper at least I can see all these specifications are much better.
Yeah.
So then they'll start telling you about how if there is a problem with your S8 or with your iPhone 7, you'll get premium service and immediately you'll get a full replacement, whereas there's no guarantee for that and we'll take care of you and all that. So that network of trust, that bond that you have with the retailer, I don't think, you know, that's something that OnePlus can't replicate at this point. And I don't even think they're going for that at this point. So that could, I still see that being like a big challenge for them. And of course, they're competing against the marketing behemoths that is Samsung and Apple.
Exactly.
So even though Apple doesn't spend as much as some other companies, you can see their hoardings everywhere. Wherever you go these days in big cities, you'll see that short on iPhone 7 hoarding along with Reliance Jio's product red iPhone hoardings.
Yep.
And Samsung S8 is also everywhere now.
Yep.
So that's something that, you know, OnePlus needs to contend
with. So it will be challenging, but yeah, it's interesting to see also how they sort of play the market. And
But raising the price will be a difficult thing in India if they do it. But if they can somehow, I don't know, unbelievably manage to release it at the same price as a OnePlus 3T or 2,000-3,000 more, then I still would say that they probably have an ace in the hole. And, you know,
I'm guessing they would cut corners somewhere, but as long as those corners that they cut don't really impact the overall experience, then it's okay. I mean, you know, I'm all for it.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I suppose that's all we have for this episode, and we will see you with another episode of Orbital next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. And you can also write into us with your questions, comments, and feedback at podcast@gadgets360.com.